Good morning. I'm going to turn your attention this morning to the Gospel of Luke, and we'll see his account of the birth of Christ. Luke chapter 2, and let's pick it up in verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen, heard and seen, as it had been told them. Pretty interesting how this thing happens. As I was chewing on this and reflecting on it and thinking about it, you know, it says, first off, in the same region this happens. And to get the drift, we'd have to look at verses 1 through 7. So real quick, you know the story. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be registered. All right, he wants to tax everybody. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Again, as a student of Scripture, as I was reading this one morning, and chewing on it, thinking about it, meditating about it, I'm thinking about this woman coming from Galilee down through Samaria or crossing over, whatever, to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem. And, of course, they're going to register. And she's with child. And she delivers this baby in a barn, in a manger, with these animals and everything. And as I was thinking about it, you know, it says in the scriptures here that because there was no place or room for them in the inn. And again, when I was thinking about it and chewing on it, I'm thinking, you mean to tell me there wasn't one man in this hotel that didn't say, "Excuse me, wait a minute, lady, hold on, hey, wait, whoa, whoa, hey, take my room, I'll go out in the barn." I mean, that's how I grew up. If my dad ever found out that I was sleeping in the hotel room while some pregnant lady's having a baby in the barn, you wouldn't want to be in my shoes. No, I tell you what would have happened. I would have came home. It was a daddy, get in there, in the living room. He'd be already taking the belt off. He'd say, "Oh, you stayed in the hotel room last night, huh? The baby, the lady had the baby in the room." And he'd just stop. "Where if a woman comes in to the the hotel." I'm telling you, that's how I grew up. That's how I grew up. My dad didn't raise two boys. He raised two men. And he told you once, maybe twice, but that was it. When I was little, I hit my sister once. Once. And from then on there, my dad didn't have a lot of rules. There were not a lot, he didn't talk a lot, again. But some of the rules were, ladies first. Ladies first. If I remember anything, ladies first. I wish to God people raise their kids today. But anyway, I'm thinking about this. You mean to tell me there was not one man who did not give his room to this lady having a baby? But again, you think about it, well, perhaps, you know, it's possible. Again, they came from a long journey. It could have been late at night. Maybe everybody's sleeping. It could have been 1, 2 in the morning. I don't know. Maybe. Everybody's sleeping. Nobody knows this lady has arrived and is ready to give birth. But anyway, we read down in verse 8, in the same region. While this is happening, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Let me ask the question here. An angel of the Lord appears to them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were filled with great fear, and they said, "Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy," all right, for all the people, Christ born in town of Bethlehem. Who were the first to hear the proclamation that this one that all Israel has been waiting for centuries? Who were the first to hear the proclamation?
Shepherds.
The shepherds. I think I can say the shepherds were not the brightest bulbs on the tree. You did not need a college degree to watch sheep. You just got to find grass, water, and scare away the wolves and the bear and the tiger, whatever. You don't need an education to do this. And again, these were the first people to get the proclamation from God that the one you've been waiting for has arrived. That's something to think about. Because I know if I was God and I was coming down to earth, you know, I'd probably arrive in the gold-laced chariot, you know, with the, you know, tell Herod, Caesar, tell everybody, make sure, hey, the king's here, make sure they're here, all right? That wasn't how it went. That wasn't how it went. In fact, these people still remained in the dark. He came to the shepherds. It's kind of like, makes me think about the jail. You know, I've been at the jail 20 years. I'm a minister there. I lead people to Christ, I disciple them, I teach them. Why? Well, because I see a lot of fruit there. I see a lot of people to come. I have led thousands to Christ. I have discipled them, and they have become men of God. Many of them are doing very well. Very well, and are bringing glory to God. Because what I notice is this. Well, let me show you what the word says. Hold your place in Luke. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me show you something in the Bible. And this is all over the place, but I just want to call your attention to one verse. You probably know it already. But if you don't, you should. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "For consider your calling, my brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. Not many. But God chose the foolish in the world to shame the wise, and God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus." God chooses a lot. lot of the foolish, a lot of the not too bright people. Don't ask me why. It's just what the Bible says. It's what the Word says. There were not many bright. I thank God I was one of the not many bright, because I was not. I still may not be. I still may be in that category. I know that. but I know this. That's what God does. And he reveals himself. Go back to Luke here. He reveals himself again to these shepherds out in the field. They're watching the sheep. They remind me again of the inmates. They're not the brightest bulbs in the tree. And God chooses a lot of them. A lot of them come to know the Lord there. You know? You don't have to spend a lot of time arguing with them. Do you know you're a sinner? You don't have to do that in jail. Everybody knows they're a sinner. Everybody knows they're on their way to hell. You know, I know some of you people have been trying to witness to your neighbor for the last 20 years and they're still not getting it, you know? Don't you know you're a sinner? Well, I wouldn't say I was a bad person. I mean, you know, I've never murdered anybody. I've never raped anybody. I'm a pretty good person. You know, I mean, this is what the world does. They like to measure themselves on the horizontal, knock other people down, lift themselves up. What a good person am I? And I'll tell you, there are some in the church. There are some in the church. I don't know about this church, but they sneak in every church. And they think that they are holier than thou. They think. But the Bible says how many have sinned? Many? Most?
All.
Didn't hear that.
All.
Yeah, all. All have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. You know, I cannot help but think of that episode back in Sunday school when the Sunday school teacher was sharing a story about God's election and God's choosing us before the foundation of the world. And he was talking about how he ministered in Pakistan, and when he went shopping, there were no stopping shops, no Shaws or anything. There were all these little like tents with selling fruits and vegetables on the side of the road, meats with flies on it and whatever. That's just the way it is. But he said, when I went to go pick out the limes or the lemons or whatever, he said, I would choose this lemon and I would choose that lime and I would choose this apple. And when he did that, while he was explaining his choosing of these different fruits and stuff in the marketplace, the pastor, who happened to be in the group, stood right up and said, wait a minute. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. I'm drawing a blank. I can see his face. Anyway, he says, Joe, I agree with you up to this point that God does choose, but in the Bible, it says all the fruit is rotten. Now go ahead and choose. Are you with me? How many have sinned?
All.
How many deserve to go to hell?
All.
God chooses some. And I notice, again, in the Bible, he reveals himself many times to the foolish, to the not so bright. The well-educated sometimes miss the boat. In fact, you remember Paul giving his testimony, and it was either Festus or the other one there, who says, Paul, your much learning is driving you mad. You know, sometimes people are too smart for their own britches. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And they miss the boat. But anyway, he reveals himself to these shepherds. And again, they were not that bright. I just want to tell you for a little testimony, just because you're getting to know me a little bit. And when I was, I grew up in a rough area and got in a lot of trouble, and when I was in the ninth grade, I went to the New Brockton High School. I grew up on the north side of Brockton, so I went to North Junior High, but when I went to the New Brockton High School, I met all the bad guys from the east side, the west side, and the south side, and so I'm hanging around with all the bad guys, and I learned how to cut classes, and I also learned something my dad said, don't you ever, and that was skip school. He told my dad didn't finish school, so he was making sure I was going to. And so don't you ever skip school. Well, I learned how to skip school, and I liked it so much I did it 2 weeks straight, 2 weeks in a row. So needless to say, They call home, see how I'm doing. And my father finds out. And he said, get in here. And he gave me my good beating again. I told you, you know, and he wanted me to finish school because he saw that he didn't, his friends did, and they did very well in life, and he had to work 3 jobs. So he was convinced, you're going to finish school. You know, I messed up, but you're not going to do that. So he was, you know, looking out for my best interest. But when the report card came home, I remember walking through the door, and he was in the living room. Danny, get in here. I go in the living room. What's this? And he's got my report. It's all F's, except math. I get a D in math. Why? Well, I show up one day in math for the final exam, and I ace it because I'm just very good with numbers, and I get a D. So anyway, he said, what's this? And I said, it's my report card, Dad. I said, hey, take it easy. You know, when I'm 14 years old. When I turn 16, I'm going to quit anyway, you know? That was not a good answer for my father. He lifted me up by the neck, and he said, Danny, you might be old and gray, but you're going to graduate. And boy, did he mean that. He meant it. You know, if there was ever a time my dad was speaking truth, this was it. And what was so funny about this was I did finish school. It took me an extra year, but I did finish school. And still get into trouble, went to jail and all that. But after I became a Christian and found out there was a scholarship for guys that had done time and applied and was accepted, I went off to Wheaton College, where I studied Bible theology for 4 years. Graduated in 1995 at the age of 39. And I was the first in my family to get a college education. And I did have a little gray. And I was a little old. And I did graduate. And my mom and dad drove 1,000 miles one way to watch me walk through the line and get my diploma. But this is what God does. He chooses and elects the many that are not so bright. I mean, there are some noble, there are some bright, but just not many. Not many. And so the angel of the Lord, again, verse 9, appears. They're tending the sheep. It's dark. So, bam, the angel of the Lord, all right? Angel of the Lord appears to them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. You can rest assured they were filled with great fear. And what's so interesting is every time an angel pops up on the scene, what's the first words out of the angel's mouth?
Fear not.
Yeah, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's got to be a scary thing. I don't care if it's pitch black at night and all of a sudden it lights up, or if it's just in the living room, wherever they pop up, it's a frightening sight. All I know is the first words every single time without fear, don't be afraid, take it easy. Because like, you know, I mean, take the wind out of you, I don't know. And don't be afraid, for I bring you good news. I bring you good news. Which will be great joy for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You know, this was the first Christmas. This was the greatest gift of all from God to us, His Son. Christmas will come and go every single year. And I am afraid that many, every single year, many, 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 many miss the boat. Do you know, the word many in the Bible, whenever it pops up, it's not good. There's only one time I can know it's good. Only one time I know it's good. Broad is the road, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that enter therein. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads life, few there be that find it. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do all these good things? He said, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. The only time many sees is good is in Mark chapter 10, which summarized, Mark 10, verse 45, summarized the whole book. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for everyone?
For all.
For many. For many. That's the only time it's good. Every time else, it's not good. But Christmas will come and go again every year, and many, many are going to miss the boat. Notice again the proclamation. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. Back up. The angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. It'll be good news for all. But he gave his life a ransom for many. We know not all are going to make it. In fact, we also know not many are going to make it. Again, broad is the road, broad is the way, wide is the gate. It leads to destruction. Many are going down that way. You read the verdict in the scriptures a little while ago. John 3:19. This is the verdict. That light has come into the world. But people loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. They don't want to come to the light. Like a bug, when you lift up the rock in the backyard or a piece of wood or plywood or whatever, you see a whole bunch of bugs running for cover. Get that light out of here. You know, this is the way it is. People love their sin. And they don't come. It's this good news for all, but they don't come. They don't all come because of sin. Again, notice the proclamation. For unto you, verse 11, born this day in the city of David, a Savior. If people only knew they needed a Savior, if they only knew they were lost, if they only knew they were in trouble, they don't. They think everything is hunky-dory. They think they don't have any problem at all. They've worked their whole life. They got the nice car, the garage, the little nest egg, and everything's fine. They think everything's fine. But they're in trouble. They're in big trouble. They're about to meet their Maker, the Creator of heaven and earth, and all who live therein. And they're going to meet Him. And there are only two ways to die, either in the faith or in this sin. And it's coming. So far the stats are 1 out of 1. 1 out of 1 dies. The body stays. That person leaves that body, spirit and soul. And he's either going up or down. And the only way to go up is to believe on Jesus, the greatest gift of all. The one who takes away the sins of the world. Again, if people only knew that they were lost, you know, Christmas is a good opportunity to explain to others the reason for the season. Can I get an amen? Amen. You know, this is a great opportunity. You don't have to be a great evangelist. But I never said happy holidays, and I never will. It's Merry Christmas, period. That's it. There's a reason we're doing this. You know, and the reason is for 28 years, I didn't know God, and Christmas was just get together and party, you know, and drinks and, you know, and give gifts and receive gifts. And it was just a party. I mean, I'm going to tell you a true story. When I came to faith in jail, 28 years old, and I picked up a Bible for the first time, and read about Jesus and fell in love with Him and received Him as my Lord and Savior. He changed my life forever, and I'll never forget my first Christmas. It was in jail. I went in February of 85. December of 85 was my first Christmas. As it was approaching, I became a Christian shortly after, right around May of 85. 2 or 3 months into jail, I became a Christian. And as a baby Christian now, approaching December, I've been a Christian 5, 6 months. I'm watching TV in this day room, all right? There's this one room in the jail where there's a TV. And usually the toughest guy controls who's what are we going to watch. But anyway, Russ Taff is a contemporary artist. He was singing these Christmas songs. And I got to tell you, for the first time in my life, at the age of 28, I'm actually listening to the words. Heard these songs many times, never paid any attention to them. I'm actually listening to the words and I'm thinking, these are all about Jesus. How could I have missed this for so many years? 28 years I missed this. And they're singing about Jesus, and tears of joy are rolling down my eyes. I'm sitting in this room with about 20 other guys, and this guy's singing these songs, and they know that the Holy Roller, they called me, or the preacher, a lot of people called me, whatever. They know that I was just so moved by this, and nobody touched the TV. It's probably a good move. But I was really enjoying this, and it was like my first Christmas. It was in jail. And it was like the greatest news of my life, that all my sins have been washed away. Everything, every bad word and deed and thought I ever had was washed away by the blood of Jesus. I mean, this is good news. Can I get an amen? Amen. And it's for everyone. It's for everyone. And we preach it to everyone. I know not everyone's going to come, but we still preach it to everyone. You still proclaim it whenever, wherever, however. And there is no better time than right now. Right now. Merry Christmas. Whether it's the waitress, the store, friends, wherever you go, it's Merry Christmas. Because the greatest gift of all came from God to us. Remember the reasons God came down. To reveal himself to his creation. And to redeem man, to die for our sins. That's why he came. And this was the greatest gift of all, again, in a stable, this little baby. And I'll tell you, I don't know, we were talking about it last night, I was worshiping with a worship band. There's a church starting up in a house, and when I'm not preaching, I'll go and play my bass with these guys and worship and stuff, but we were telling them about this one song. Did you know? Not Mary, did you know? Not that song, but another song, Did You Know? And basically it was, to everybody, did Mary know? Did Jesus know? And the question is when does this little baby in the stable realize he's God? Was it then? I mean, were people looking down at this little baby? Oh, what a cute little baby. And he's looking up thinking, I created you, and all everything in this world was it then? We don't know. We can only speculate. It doesn't tell us, But we know around 12 years old, when he's left behind, and they're looking for him, and they find him in the temple, he does say, did you not know I would be about my father's business? You know, something's going on at 12. Did he know it day one? I mean, you don't know. But he came again. From God the Father to us. A body I prepared for you. And this good news, again, is the greatest gift of all. You may be thinking of what you're going to get your spouse or children or family members or whatever, and this and this and everything else. Just don't ever forget the greatest gift of all. That's all I'm saying. The greatest gift of all. It still needs to be proclaimed. It began with the angels to some lowlifes out in the field. But it still happens today, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. Because this is what it's all about. There are only two purposes in life: to know God and to make him known. This is it. We're only here for a little while, right? Remember, the end is approaching. That's okay. Don't lose sleep over this. This is a good thing. This is a very good thing. It's just a door we all walk through to be in the presence of God forever. No more sin, no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. This is a good thing. It's coming. But while we're here, we need to proclaim the greatest gift of all. Again, my first one was in jail, but I usually do this when there's someone young present, but there isn't, so let's see. Well, you're pretty young. I'll pick on you. What's your name?
Vivian.
Vivian, yeah, that's right. You told me that before. It's a different name. No, it's not. Let's say let's just say it was Vivian's birthday today. And when we were all done, we went out back to have, you know, some refreshments. And we had a surprise party for Vivian. And so we said, surprise, surprise, you know, happy birthday and all this. And, you know, sing the song. And then there were a lot of these gifts on the table. And we all walk over to the table. And I walk over, I grab this gift. And I bring it over to Rick. I walk right past it. And then Rick goes over, he grabs the president, and he walks over, he goes right over to Lucy. How many times would this have to happen, Vivian, before you realize something going on here? Am I missing something, you know? Because whose birthday is it? It's Jesus. It's Jesus' birthday. And we give gifts to one another. I mean, it's important to remember, you know, it is about gifts, and the greatest gift of all. But I wonder how Jesus feels, you know? Not that he's a big deal, you know, my birthday, you got to give me a present. No, no. But let me just ask you, does he want something from you? Would he like something from you? Yeah, I think so. What?
Exception.
Question. Most people say the heart. But I'm going to say, not just the heart. He wants the whole package. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's what he wants. As we approach this season, and you think about worshiping God, your Creator, in the name of his Son, Jesus, he wants you to come to him with everything. With everything. Not just 10% of your finances. Everything. How much belongs to him?
Everything.
All of it. All of it. Thank you. You came in naked, you're leaving naked. Let's just get that straight. Everything is his. What you do will dictate how you'll be rewarded later on when you stand before him in the Bema seat. It's not a judgment of whether you get into heaven or not. That's not it. It's how you're judged according to how you lived on this earth. You know, the way you get to heaven is what you believe. How you live in heaven is what you've done down here. Your rewards. Your rewards are in heaven. If you have not read, what's his name? Now I'm going to draw a blank. Wilkinson, Bruce Wilkinson's book, Rewards of This Life or whatever, Rewards in Heaven. If you haven't read this little book, it's only this thick. I'm going to tell you something, read it. Because everything you do down here, I don't care if it's a cup of cold water, you will not lose your reward in heaven. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you, everything you do will be rewarded later on. Let me just put it this way. What you believe dictates where you go. You believe in Jesus, you go to heaven. But you can either be a doorman or you can be rewarded, 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 rewarded. I mean, heaven will never get any worse, but it can get better. The opposite is also true. Hell can never get better, but it can get worse. Even Jesus says to the Pharisees, you go across land and sea to make one proselyte, one convert. And once you convert him, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. That's what he said. That's what he said in the Bible. And he says, and you make these long prayers over the widow's houses, you know, to have her leave it to you. He said, these will receive the greater condemnation. It's about giving gifts. We practice it down here and everything else, but just remember this. Whatever you do down here will be remembered in heaven, and you will stand there. Let me give you the last two verses, and I'll wrap it up. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. The reason I remember these verses is they both are verse 10. One's in Romans chapter 14, the other one's 2 Corinthians 5. But here's what Paul writes to those who will leave this earth one day. The whole chapter 5 begins with, you know, if our tent, our earthly home is destroyed, meaning your body, you know, you're going to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord, verse 8. But notice verse 9 and 10. So, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him because we love God. Amen. And this verse 10, now watch. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. There's this, like, Bema seat. It's just this idea of, you know, the Olympics. You know, there's going to be a gold, a silver, a bronze, and probably a lot more. But it's this, you're being rewarded for how you finished the race. Whatever you've done here on earth. Again, Jesus said, even a cup of cold water, you will not lose your reward. So whatever you do is to be rewarded later. It's not how you get to heaven. It's not be a good person, you get to heaven. That's not it. The only way you get to heaven is get rid of your sins. Only Jesus can do that. You believe in him, your sins are gone. You're going. But how you're going to live is how you live down here. I mean, do you still worship the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I? Do you still live for me? Is that all you care about? You could care less about anybody else? You're probably going to get no rewards. Probably nothing. You'll probably be at the door in heaven. But if you're one who realizes, you know what? I do love the Lord with all my heart so much. I do love my neighbor as myself. And you'd like to bless others. You will have a lot of rewards. They're all throughout the Bible. That's how it works. The other verse is Romans. Go backwards two books. Past 1 Corinthians to Romans 14, verse 10. The same idea, same thing. Again, the rewards are later on, though. It's not your reward of heaven because you can't earn heaven. You can't do it. The only way you're getting it is to get rid of your sin. The only one who can do this is Jesus. He's the one who takes our sins away. Amen. The Lamb of God who what? Takes away the sins of the world. That's the only way we're getting in. What you believe is where you go. How you live down here is how you'll be living in heaven. How you'll be rewarded. Again, chapter 14, verse 10. Paul writes it in Romans here, for why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before what? The judgment seat of God. We're all going to stand before him. Now again, this is not the great white judgment seat, whether who's going to heaven or not, you know, because that dictates on what you believe. But how you live down here will either be rewarded, will be rewarded, or not. They will receive what is done in the body, whether good or bad. So, the first Christmas, that's how it happened in the Bible. The first Christmas for me, well, it was in jail when I became a Christian, when I realized what it was all about, when I woke up and smelled the coffee. It took a long time. I know, but thank God it happened. Thank God it happened. Let me just say, it's never too late unless the lights go out. I mean, if you die in your sin, too bad. There's no second chance. It is appointed unto man to die once. After this comes the judgment. But as long as there's still breath, there's still hope. And I know you have loved ones that may not know the Lord. This is a time. This is a good time to pray and to share with them what it's all about. Now again, they may reject you, they may, you know, whatever. But every time you share something from the Word, every time you plant a seed, just know that it may germinate later on. It may germinate. It may not, you know, They may not come to Christ right today, tomorrow, whatever. They may. Could happen. But if it doesn't, just know that you plant a seed. That's all we do. We plant some water, but only God can make it grow. Amen? And this is the time of season to remember this. Because the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance through faith in Christ. So let us remember that as we've entered to worship and depart to leave, that we have come to know Him. Now we must go to make Him known. Father, thank You. Thank You for the greatest gift of all, which came from You to us, the gift of eternal life, which is in Christ. He who has the Son has the eternal life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the eternal life. These things You have written to us that we may know that we have eternal life in Christ. Thank You, Father, for this great gift. Thank You for opening our eyes, for giving us Your Spirit, for giving us Your Word, for sending Your Son. Thank You for You. Help us to make You known, Lord, as we celebrate this season, that others would see the joy, the light, how we shine because of who we've come to know and who we want to make known. Your Son, our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.